Just for a change, fancy hearing one that hasn't been released yet.
You're listening to Macaspam Radio.
You know, when you're Paul McCartney, you can have whoever you want to produce your album. And my very special guest on Breakfast with the Beatles has now produced two of the last three studio Paul McCartney albums. Actually, three if you count back in the U.S. My guest this morning is David Kahn. David, thank you so much for speaking with us this morning.
No problem. Here I am.
Here you are. David Kahn, Grammy Award-winning producer, a who's who of superstars. He's worked with Tony Bennett, Bruce Springsteen, Stevie Nicks, The Strokes, Sublime, Paul McCartney, of course, and David, two of my favorite late 70s, early 80s artists, Translator and Pearl Harbor and the Explosions.
Oh, wow.
Oh, Everywhere That I'm Not is an absolute classic.
Oh, that's great.
So, David, one thing I ask all my guests on Breakfast with the Beatles is tell us the first time that the Beatles impacted your life.
Let's see. The first album I ever bought in my life was Meet the Beatles when I was a little boy. And I had to run and buy it in secret when my parents were gone. And I was playing it. My parents came home and found me playing it on the record player, on their record player, which I wasn't supposed to use. And I got in all kinds of trouble. And that was my first music purchase, was that album.
How about that? Now, had you seen them on Ed Sullivan or hear them on the radio?
I'd seen them once on Ed Sullivan, yeah.
Now, you actually started your career as a performer, and you were signed to Capitol Records for a while, yet you switched to the other side of the console. Were you more comfortable as a producer than an artist?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I have no charisma, so I knew I had no chance of being an artist. And I heard myself on the radio once, and I quit actually at that moment and got a job in a studio and learned how to run the gear. I didn't like being an artist.
Out of San Francisco was the studio you started working?
Yeah, Wally Heider's.
Oh, world famous.
I know we're celebrating your 21st solo album, Memory Almost Full.
That's right.
Is there any chance you'd give up writing the songs?
I'm doubting it. Late entry for Eurovision.
Oh, if only you would. If only you would. But I know you're not going to stick your neck out that far.
Well.
So has this been a long time coming, this album?
Yeah, I started it in 2003 and then broke off to work with another producer and do my last album. So, and then I revisited this one and finished it up. So, yeah, it's been in the works quite a little while.
Now, there's a medley of five songs toward the end that seem to be retrospective.
That's right.
That's deliberate, is it?
Yes, it is, really. Where with the Beatles, we did a medley on Abbey Road at the end there, and I thought it might be good to try and revisit that and see if I could do that kind of thing. And, then it got very retrospective. I sort of ended up back in Liverpool in the cavern on the seashore with a spade and bucket. And then the last song ended up talking about death, so that was pretty. Well, that's not retrospective, is it?
No, it's terminal.
Hardly.
So what about the title? I mean, does that come to you freely? Do you do that before you write the songs, or...?
No, that's nearly always the last thing. I kind of just do the songs and then sort of think, oh, what are we going to call this? And it came off my phone, actually. My phone was telling me that I'd, I had to delete something.
Yeah, memory was almost
full. Memory almost full. And I thought, it might mean something more than just digital overload.
Yeah. The old cliche question, of course, to all songwriters, lyricists and music people, is what comes first with you? Is the lyric or the music?
The old cliche answer was always the phone call. But in my case...
But your memory was almost full.
...tend to come together.
Yeah.
If I'm lucky, I'm just sort of working away, and then I'll find a little bit of a word thing, and then just sort of follow the trail, you know?
Yeah, when does the muse hit you? I mean, is it constantly there, hovering over your head?
You know when it hits me? In truth, it's when I've got a bit of time to sit down and have a break.
Yeah.
And my kind of hobby is to sit down and play some music. A lot of the time I'm running around and talking to people like Terry Wogan.
I know, what a waste of time that is.
Oh, no, he's a good boy.
Yeah. The long time since we talked, Paul.
It is, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, it's good to talk to you again. Now, the single that's coming out is called, what, Dance Tonight?
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is one of the first plays for it. And it's being released on the 18th of June. The album's coming out on the 4th of June.
Yes, that's right.
So I imagine it'll sell a copy or two.
Well, we're getting all the plugs in here, Terry.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm here for.
You're a good man.
I knew I'd turn out to be good for something.
Yeah.
It's really very nice to talk to you again.
Lovely. Well, good luck in Helsinki. Have you sorted your hotel yet?
No, I'm afraid we looked through the guide and the hotel wasn't in it.
It's looking bad.
I think it's probably a hostel somewhere out of town, but I believe there's a bus service in. So we're looking forward to that.
All right. Cheers, Terry. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Paul.
Bye.
Now, David, how would you best describe this brand new Paul McCartney CD, Memory Almost Full, which will be out on June 5th?
I would say, if I had to use one word, it would be personal. I think it's Paul's most personal record that I've ever heard. You feel like he's talking directly to you. And really, I think what he's doing, he's a great storyteller. And for the first time, he's telling his own story. And that's what it feels like to me.
Now, did you approach the production of this CD any differently than you did on Driving Rain?
No, I did a little bit more of this production myself. I engineered a lot of it, and I mixed most of it. And mostly because Paul was playing more things himself, so I stayed very, very close to everything. And you know, when we'd work in the UK, I'd take all my gear over to his studio, and so I maintained the same gear throughout. And I tried to, you know, just really following his lead is what you do. It's a pretty much purely musical thing, just listening to melodies and inflections and way things are shaping up and following the cues that he gives intuitively. But that's really sort of the way I worked with him the first time. That's the way I work with everybody. So I try to work with people that have ideas.
So the story goes that you were suggested to Paul by Bill Porcelli, his then promotion guy at MPL in New York. So tell me about the phone call you get when you find out that you're producing Paul McCartney's album.
What was really strange was finding out that he and I live on the same block in New York, because he was in London and I was in L.A. and we agreed to meet. And when the address came up for the meeting at his place, it turned out it was three doors down from me. And I've been living in New York to this place for 10 years. I live back and forth the coast, and I didn't know it was his house. So that was a kind of a bit of synchronicity that is not lost on Paul. He's really into things like that. And but then I went and met with him, and I had, you know, I said the one thing that I did say that I really liked was the more aggressive stuff, like Helter Skelter, and I think I used the song "Oh Woman, Oh Why" as the example of what I liked. And I just like it when he sings loud and when it's just really rough and strong like that. And he loved that idea. He felt, you know, that's what he wanted to do. That's what he said. So that's how we started out.
And recordings for Driving Rain were started and finished rather quickly. Were you surprised at the speed at which that was recorded?
Yes. We did so many songs. He had a lot of songs. And I brought the band together. And I was pretty nervous because he'd never met any of them before. And I'd never worked with all of them in the same room. The keyboard player actually was his first studio session ever. But they just clicked so well right from the beginning, as far as everybody playing together, that, you know, by the end of the first day, we'd recorded 3.5 songs. So
the first day, wow.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. But that's, you know, that's how the Beatles recorded. That Paul was used to playing pretty fast and making decisions. And there's so much information in the song that you're not sitting there fumbling around for ideas like you do with a lot of people, where they have a lyric and kind of a melody, but there's no, you wouldn't say, a real composition. You know, he has obviously all complete songs, and so you just follow the cues there.
My special guest on Breakfast with the Beatles, and it's quite a thrill to be speaking with David Kahn, producer of Memory Almost Full, the brand new CD from Paul McCartney, which will be in stores in just a couple of weeks on June 5th on the Hear Music label, the arm of the Starbucks Corporation. David, Paul has indicated that sessions for this album began back in the fall of 2003 and then picked up at a later date. Now, had you actually started work on the album and thought you were doing an album when this other side, Nigel Godrich project came along?
Yeah, we started that. Paul had a bunch of songs, and we started. There was a certain group of them that I really liked, and we started working on those. And we got partway into it, and then Paul wrote the medley, and that's on Memory Almost Full, and we started working on that. And we had a couple of different groups of sessions, and then Paul just said one day, when he was in New York, he told me he was thinking about doing something else, and I said, okay, cool. And he went and did the Chaos, which a lot of the songs were in that initial group of songs that he gave me a CD of. And then they started on that and then finished it. And then a few months after that came out, then we started up again on Memory Almost Full.
Were basic tracks from most of the album here, Memory Almost Full, done in 2003, or did he do a bit more basic tracks the last year or so?
No, we did about two-thirds of it, after we started back up.
And was there any re-recording of songs?
Yeah, we did a couple of the ones we did over, and we also replaced some of the band parts with Paul playing quite a few of the parts on the tracks that we cut already.
And Paul is playing all the instruments on a majority of this album, right?
Uh-huh.
Let's play the first single, if you will, that was released here in the United States. You heard this first on Breakfast with the Beatles. This is Ever Present Past, and David Kahn, can you sort of set this song up for us a little bit from your view?
This is the second to last song that we did that's on the album. We started it, he came in one day and he had this idea, and we started recording and put down a piano part and then just started overdubbing on it. And I really liked it because the title, as I said, because of the personalness of the record, it seemed like this sort of great bringing together of the idea of what the record was about. Because the title, for me, means, he's talking about the past, but he's talking about how firmly rooted he is in the present. And that's what I think is great, because the album has a lot of feeling about it. There's a lot of things, like I get emails from people all the time that say, was he thinking of the third line of the B-side of such and such, when he says, no, there was never any talk of anything to do with there's never any referencing of any songs when we're working. But there are things you hear, the way he sings, and things that he's doing that are, they have this sense of recognition to them. They're kind of iconic. And, when you're working, it's just completely in the present. There's no looking back. So I like the fact that the title did that,
And in addition to the introspective and poignant lyrics, there is that catchiness that is textbook McCartney that has you singing the hook in your head for hours after you've heard it. This is Ever Present Past, brand new Paul McCartney from Memory Almost Full. My guest is David Kahn, producer of the album, on Breakfast with the Beatles Sunday.
I've got too much on my plate. Don't have no time to be a decent lover. I hope it isn't too late. Searching for the time that has gone so fast. The time that I thought would last. My ever-present past. I've got too much on my mind. I think of everything to be discovered. I hope there's something to find. Searching for the time that has gone so fast. The time that I thought would last. My ever-present past. The things I think I did. I think I did. But the things I think I did when I was a kid. I couldn't understand the words that they were saying, but still I hung around and took it all in. I wouldn't join in with the games that they were playing. It went by in a flash. far too much on my plate. Don't have no time to be a decent lover. I hope it's never too late. Searching for the time that has come so fast. The time that I thought would last. My ever-present past. The things I think I did. I think I did. The things I think I did when I was a kid. The things I think I did when I was a kid. When I was a kid.
And there it is, a beautiful track called Ever Present Past. Paul McCartney, brand new here on Breakfast with the Beatles Sunday. I am Andre Gardner. My special guest is the producer of Memory Almost Full, David Kahn, joining us this morning. David, can you tell us a little bit about how the process of putting a Paul McCartney album comes together? You alluded to it earlier about a CD. Does Paul send you demos of songs for consideration, or does he play them for you in the studio, or both?
All three, actually.
Oh, really?
But I've gotten stuff. He sent me, like, Dance Tonight. He emailed me the idea. Sometimes he'll just come in and say, I have this idea, and he'll sit down at the piano and play it. And, one day we recorded four songs in between noon and 6 o'clock, and they were all four new songs, and three of them are on the album, and one of them's on the B-side, the extra disc. And they turned into Mr. Bellamy, Nod Your Head, Gratitude, and In Private. And all four of those songs were done, not complete, but blocked out with most of the instruments by the time 6 o'clock rolled around.
In 6 hours. Now, there are, as you mentioned, 13 tracks on the album Memory Almost Full, plus three bonus tracks on the extended version of the set. How many tracks total did you and Paul record for this project?
Probably 20, but we didn't finish some of them, so I'm sure we will one day.
David Kahn is my very special guest here on Breakfast with the Beatles Sunday. It's a thrill to have him on the show, and let's play another track from Memory Almost Full. This is the one that's getting airplay in Europe, and it features a mandolin to the fore. It kind of reminded me a little bit of maybe Ram On. That was probably the last time I heard Paul play a mandolin-type instrument. It's called Dance Tonight, and can you tell us a little bit about this one, David?
Well, actually, this one, I don't know about Ram On, but the mandolin, he'd never played a real mandolin before. He was in a little store, and they had a left-handed mandolin. But the mandolin tuning is in fifths. And so he didn't know the chords, so he bought the instrument and he just started goofing around on it, and then he came up with that song. And there's one really great chord, is you can go when you want to, when it drops into the B section, there's a great chord there. It's kind of a real Paul chord, and he just found it by searching around on the neck and playing the chord.
Oh, it is a gorgeous song. That chord that you speak about is quite lovely, and it's great how the song kind of builds to the drumming and heavier sound at the end. Let's play it now. This is Dance Tonight, the first track on Memory Almost Full. My guest is David Kahn, the producer of this great work, and this is Breakfast with the Beatles Sunday.
Everybody gonna dance tonight. Everybody gonna feel alright. Everybody gonna dance around tonight. Everybody gonna dance around. Everybody gonna hit the ground. Everybody gonna dance around tonight. Well, you can come on to my place if you want to. You can do anything you wanna do. Everybody gonna dance tonight. Everybody gonna feel alright. Everybody gonna dance.
dance tonight. Everybody gonna feel alright. Everybody gonna dance around tonight. Yeah, everybody gonna jump and shout. Everybody's gonna sing it out. Everybody's gonna dance around tonight. Well, you can come on to my place if you want to. You can do anything you wanna do. Everybody's gonna dance tonight. Everybody's gonna feel alright. Everybody's gonna dance around tonight.
And that is Dance Tonight from Memory Almost Full, the brand new album from Paul McCartney, which will be in stores on June the 5th on the Hear Music label as Paul departs with his long-standing relationship with Capitol Records for the Starbucks Corporation. This is Breakfast with the Beatles Sunday. I am Andre Gardner, and I am thrilled beyond belief to have David Kahn on as my special guest. David produced the album as well as Driving Rain and Back in the U.S., David, I am fascinated to know, particularly with the songs that Paul plays all the instruments, how they are recorded. Does he generally do the drums first, the guitar, or does the order vary from song to song?
Yeah, there's no method to it. In Private was started with the acoustic guitar. Nod Your Head was done on piano, but the main instrument is electric guitar and fuzz bass. And sometimes it's just a loop up the chords, and then that instrument won't even end up in the song. He plays drums sometimes later in the process, sometimes earlier, depending on what we've figured out, you know, to be rhythmic emphasis while we're recording. But and then eventually, you know, he gets to the bass, which is really, you know, there's songs that I've going, I wonder how is this going to work, and then he plays the bass, and all of a sudden everything works with the whole song.
His bass work on this album is just fantastic.
No, it's his best in decades. I listen to See Your Sunshine, or there's a song called That Was Me that's in the medley. That the bass playing is just, you know, it's like that kind of Penny Lane rain that's all up and down the neck and every inversion. And it's just amazing when you're sitting there recording it.
Now, you're listed on the CD, David, as producer and programmer. Would that mean keyboard programming, drum programming?
Well, all the computer programming, and, you know, drums. But I do all my own computer work, so I guess they gave me credit for that. And, you know, when I start mixing right when we start recording, so I have a system that I don't wait, you know, 1,000 tracks later and sort through it. You know, we start... When we record, we make decisions, and I start actually getting the sounds that we're going to use for the mix right when we start recording.
Oh, that's fascinating.
And I do it all in the computer. I have the way my computer's set up, I'm able to access all my mixing gear while we're recording, and it's a pretty cool system.
Now, this album was recorded at several studios, including Henson and Abbey Road and Rack Studios. Was it a question of Paul's schedule as to where the songs were recorded, or were there particular sounds within the studios that he preferred?
No, it was just scheduling. We went to Henson because he had to go to L.A. We were working at the mill, his place, and we finished at my studio in New York at C-Squared.
This is David Kahn. You're listening to my very special guest here on Breakfast with the Beatles Sunday, David talking about his work with Paul McCartney, his third project with Paul, Driving Rain being his first back in the U.S., and now the much-anticipated Memory Almost Full, which is already getting incredible reviews. David, Paul certainly is a capable producer in his own right, having produced some of his finest work. So what is it that you, as a producer, bring to Paul? Or should I say, what does Paul ask of you as a producer on his project?
Tell him the truth. That's pretty much the basic part of it. If it doesn't sound good, I tell him that it doesn't sound good, and that's something that if he's really, you know, any artist that's subjective, any great artist is really subjective, and they're looking for an opinion, and they want to be able to count on that opinion. And I always, you know, give my opinion. Sometimes it's hard with him because, you know, he can do something that sounds really good. And I know it doesn't work, but it still sounds good, like when he's playing the bass. You know, I have to be very discriminating and I have to, you know, just tell him what I think. And I'm a good engineer and arranger. You know, I've done a lot of arranging in my career, and I think that helps too, because Paul thinks very much like an orchestra composer. He thinks in terms of lines. He doesn't strum. If he's playing a guitar part, there's always lines moving, even as he changes the chord, the way he chooses his chord voicing. It creates a lot of linearity, which makes a lot of forward momentum in the music. And obviously, you know, his bass lines and his singing are like, you know, classical music with counterpoint, and he's always moving against himself and creating a lot of tension. And I really do feel that I understand that very well, and it's great working with him because we can just work in the music in that way, and we've kind of understood that's how the music's going to be developed through the lines.
Paul had alluded to me a couple of years ago in an interview when he worked with Nigel Godrich that Nigel was very blunt about what he liked and what he didn't like, and Paul kind of joked that he laid him out on the floor at one point. But I imagine that, you know, there is some inherent tension during the creative process of working on an album.
Yeah, I think it might. Yeah, there's tension, but I think that might have just been the way that Nigel did it. I'm polite when I do it. I don't know exactly how Nigel does it, but I say what I have to say, but I make sure that I'm being respectful.
That voice you hear is David Kahn, who's the producer of Memory Almost Full, the brand new album from Paul McCartney. He is my very special guest here on Breakfast with the Beatles Sunday. David, as a Beatles fan, I have to ask you this question. Does Paul sometimes bust out some cool Beatles stories when you guys are working together?
He has busted out some amazing Beatles stories, yes. Yeah, he's told, I was just working with a band from Liverpool called The Dead 60s, and I was working with Paul. Paul came into town to finish the album, and so we were working in my studio, and they came over to meet him, and they all live off of Allerton Road and Penny Lane, and it was pretty amazing to see them meet him. And he told them some stories that only people from Liverpool would understand about him and John. And it was really great because he was able to tell them these things that the detail would only be understood by them. It was just fascinating to hear that, you know, just telling a story of a couple of 16-year-old boys, you know, what they were doing trying to learn how to write songs and how they wandered around to this house and that pub and that sort of thing. It's really, really fascinating.
David Kahn is my special guest on Breakfast with the Beatles. It's been so wonderful speaking with you, Dave, and I thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us and all the Beatles fans across the world this morning. Best of luck to you on Memory Almost Full, the brand new album from Paul McCartney in stores on June 5th. Much anticipated, and of course, Paul, much loved. We cannot wait until it's released. Thank you so much, David.
Glad to be here.